Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as you know, we are now dealing with how to deal with enemies of the gospel from the Apostle Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. And right in the middle of a passage, closing passage, that has personal appeals and instructions and greetings to various people, Paul says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words." Well, there it is. And we'll look at it more fully in just a moment. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, September 29. And many, many, many grateful thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us on the air. All right, how to deal with enemies of the gospel, following the Apostle Paul and concluding that he is a reliable example in this area, as well as other areas. And so how to deal with enemies of the gospel? Number one, identify the enemy. Paul certainly did. The enemy that he had in mind in this particular case was Alexander the coppersmith, unknown to us, but obviously known to Timothy. And so identify the enemy is the first point in dealing with enemies of the gospel. Number two, oppose the enemy's attacks. And how do you do that? Well, first of all, by declaring the truth, doctrines that need to be understood in order to avoid the enemy's error. And I can't overemphasize that too much. I have already talked about that many times on the Beacon Broadcast, but the foundation of avoiding error is always an understanding of the truth. We cannot fortify people for opposing error simply by talking about error. I hope you understand that. I occasionally run into a ministry that seems to be entirely committed to talking about what's wrong and almost nothing about teaching the truth of God's Word. Ministries like that do not really prepare people to confront error and to stand against error, because you can only do that standing upon a foundation of truth. And I've given you this illustration before, but I do it again. The best way to train bank tellers to recognize counterfeit currency is to enable them to become so familiar with genuine currency that that occasional counterfeit that passes through their hands will be quickly spotted. Why? Not because they have spent most of their time studying counterfeits. No, but precisely because they have spent most of their time handling that which is genuine. And it's the same thing with the people of God. We've got to spend most of our time dealing with truth, with Bible doctrine, reinforcing our understanding of the truth. We've got to teach it, we've got to review it, we've got to approach it from many different angles. We've got to keep examining it and pounding away at that which is true, but that doesn't mean that we never deal with error, because Paul is a reliable example in all of this. How does Paul do it? Study his epistles. They are primarily devoted to the declaration of sound doctrine. But there are always some elements of identifying and exposing error. Though that doesn't take up the majority of what he writes, he doesn't neglect that either. And so, the way to oppose the enemy's attacks is, first of all, by declaring truth, but secondly, by exposing error, identifying it, and comparing it with the truth as a way of making people understand the difference. Remember, this is what the Bible says. This is what sound doctrine teaches. This is what I taught you in this area. This is what the Bible tells us about this particular subject. And here is what this false teacher is saying. It doesn't add up. So, expose the error by identifying it and comparing it with the truth. But number three, by warning others specifically of the identity and methodology of the enemy, who he is, what he has done, and therefore what he's likely to do again if he's given the opportunity. Paul doesn't shy away from that. Again, I read 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. He did me much harm or much evil. Who did? Alexander the coppersmith. What did he do? He did a great deal of evil. He harmed me, a messenger of the gospel, and therefore, in that manner, harmed the gospel itself. When you harm a messenger of the gospel, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are striking a blow against Christ. He did me much evil. He greatly resisted our words. Now, Paul doesn't give us all the details, and we would like to have more, of course, because we would really like to understand exactly what did Alexander do, and how did he do it? How did he withstand your words, Paul? We really don't know. I speculated on a previous broadcast that he may have actually opposed Paul at Paul's trial, in some way supporting the prosecution, but that's only speculation because of the context in which this is written. But all Paul tells us is he greatly withstood our words. It sounds like he was directly contradicting what Paul taught. Paul taught the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Alexander the coppersmith said, "That's not true. That's not right. That's not so." And became a great enemy of the gospel in this way. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Paul takes this pretty personally, doesn't he? You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. Paul does take it personally. Does that mean that this was only a personal offense? That Alexander the coppersmith was only opposing Paul the man? No, it means that he was opposing the gospel of Christ when he, as I've already said, when he opposed a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was opposing Christ. When he opposed the true message preached by a faithful preacher of God's word, he was opposing the word of God. You can't, listen to me now, you can't do the Apostle Paul harm without doing the Lord Jesus Christ harm. You can't greatly withstand Paul's words without greatly withstanding the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, because that's what Paul proclaimed. And so by warning others specifically of the identity of enemies of the gospel and the methodology of the enemies of the gospel, this is the way that you deal with error. This is the way you deal with enemies of the gospel. And then finally, by committing the enemy to God in prayer. You say, where did Paul do that? He says, may the Lord repay him according to his works. Is that a prayer? Well, I think it probably is. I think it is an imprecatory prayer. Do you know what that is? You find them quite often, well, not tremendously often, but you find them scattered throughout the Psalms, where the psalmist from time to time will pray God's judgment upon an enemy of God, an enemy of God's people, an enemy of the psalmist. Sounds very much like Paul here, because sometimes the psalmist, usually David, prays God's judgment upon somebody who is opposing David. Is that wrong? Is that ungodly? Is that Old Testament? Didn't Jesus teach us to turn the other cheek? Well, it all depends. And this is why I say that these issues have to do with opposition to God and his truth. These are not personal issues. When David prayed for, or against, I guess I should say, someone who opposed him, it was not a personal matter. It was someone who was opposing David as God's anointed representative, opposing David in his God-appointed position as king, in his God-appointed position as shepherd of Israel, leader of Israel, spiritual leader of Israel. And when you do that, you're opposing God. And when you're doing that, it is perfectly appropriate to pray for God to judge such a person. That's an imprecatory prayer. Paul seems to be doing the same thing here. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. It's not a prayer being prayed, it's Paul reporting what he prayed. Sometimes Paul gives us a record of his prayers and what he prayed, and this is one of them. May the Lord, this is an appeal to God, this is what I desire, may the Lord repay him according to his works. Well, if he repays him according to his works, what is he going to do? Judge him. An imprecatory prayer. Now, some people are very comfortable with the whole concept of imprecatory prayer. But I would say that those who are uncomfortable with the concept of imprecatory prayer are not totally comfortable, listen to me now, are not totally comfortable with the Bible, are not totally comfortable with the God of the Bible. And that's the issue. You wouldn't be very comfortable with these words of Paul in 1 Timothy 1:20. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. I delivered them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Was that ungodly? No, that was godly. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Is that ungodly? No, that's godly. It's godly to stand for truth and to oppose error. It is godly to stand with the representatives of truth and to oppose the enemies of the gospel. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.